You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
And not everything I'm going to talk about today is illegal, but everything that I'm going to talk about today is bad for regular Americans.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I'm a data wonk.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I talk about food a lot on this show. It's a thing.
I am a foodie.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. Happy Wednesday afternoon. Welcome back. If you're rejoining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. As you all know, I am a lifelong homer, a Brewers fan to the last, and it is such a pleasure to be joined this afternoon by Rick Schlesinger. He is in his 23rd season with the Milwaukee Brewers. He's done a ton of different things for the Brewers, but did you know he began in baseball working in legal affairs and as an assistant GM for the Anaheim Angels, as well as a vice president there. He was then the VP of business operations from 2003 to 2010 for the Brewers. He was COO. We talked to the current COO just a couple of weeks ago, Marty Ronsky. And now Rick serves as the executive vice president of business. Excuse me. The executive, am I getting that right? No, the president of business operations, Rick. So sorry for stumbling through your bio.
Sure, my title, Maggie. Wow.
Yeah, let's not do that. We got there eventually. The president of business operations, sir, welcome to the show. You're a native Wisconsinite, worked for the Brewers for a long time. Started out a little rocky this season with those four losses, came right back with four wins, currently standing at 13-11 on the season. Had a big win yesterday on the road against the Giants with Yelly banging a grand slam for, what was that, 8 runs in the 6th inning? So exciting. Such a hallmark season for the Brewers after what brought me to tears in the playoffs last year. What can Brewers fans be looking for this season from the crew?
Well, Maggie, yeah, I think, you know, baseball is a game of thrills and heartaches and often within the same inning. And I think, you know, this is going to be a horse race between us and the Cubs. I think, you know, frankly, the division is very interesting. The Pirates are better. The Cardinals are probably retooling, but they're never to be counted out. And the Reds have a lot of talent. Cubs are looking really good. Their offense is good. I think it's going to be a very close divisional race. We're the two-time defending champs. I'm confident we're going to be there at the end. It's going to be a lot of nail-biting, a lot of white-knuckle games. But that's what baseball is fun. And I'm excited to look forward to a really great second half and hopefully a deep run in the postseason.
I love how you characterize the Cardinals because they are my number one enemy, even above the Cubs, and you can never count them out. Somehow they figure out how to post some W's despite all odds, it seems, at times. Rick, I wanted to ask you about this because as we were talking about the ups and downs of baseball before we got on air, we were talking about some of our great Brewers memories as well as some of our heartaches. One of the things that I think makes baseball so special is the fact that there's no clock, that game isn't over until the last strike and last out has been counted. What makes baseball special for you personally? And what do you think makes Milwaukee Brewers fans, we're one of, if not the smallest market in baseball, and yet this has been a successful franchise, seemingly against all odds, for many, many years. What makes Milwaukee Brewers fans so special in your mind?
Well, this is, you certainly are a lawyer because you're asking a very complicated multi-part question. So let me tackle it if I can. Maggie, you're absolutely right. The baseball is unique in that you can't run out the clock. You can't just... The pitcher just can't stay on the mound and hold the baseball and not throw it. You got to give the other team the last at bat, and they always have a chance to win the game. And that's what makes baseball special. It's a timeless game. It's been around for 120 years. We've made some rule changes, try to make the game go a little faster, a little more action. But at its essence, it's still the great game. You know, if your great-grandparents, you know, came back and saw a game now, they would recognize it.
They would recognize it, yes.
From the 30s and 20s. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, Aaron Judge is our Babe Ruth. You know, Shohei Ohtani is our Babe Ruth. Our Brewers players are some talented guys. It's a timeless game. As far as what we're doing here in Milwaukee, you know, there's no question we don't have a salary cap. We don't have perfect revenue sharing. So we do have some challenges, but we are really fortunate, Maggie, to have some really talented baseball people. And that starts with Matt Arnold and his entire crew of analytics people, his executives. They are incredibly good at finding good players that other teams have overlooked. They are very good at drafting young players and turning them into quality major league players. They're very adept at making good trades, and they take advantage of situations that are presented. And at the same time, Maggie, you know, they don't really sit around and whine about, you know, that other teams have more money or that other markets are larger. They deal with what they can control. They don't obsess about what they can't control and build really good teams. And that's, I think, a good message for us on the business side. Focus on what you can control. Don't obsess about what's out of your control.
Rick, I think that's great advice in any business, whether you're working to build a World Series baseball club or making widgets. There are certain things you can impact to improve and to achieve and to win, if you will, and certain things you can't. Folks, we're talking with Rick Schlesinger. He's the president of business operations. I'm going to call him the CEO of the Brewers. He's with us this half hour. Rick, you're getting to the thing that I wanted to pick your brain about, and that is the challenges of revenue sharing and what that means for a club like the Brewers. And I think you just ticked off how a club like the Brewers or any smaller market club can put together the right pieces and have that magic moment and maybe be able to win a World Series, something that seems for, I think, a lot of fans, not just in the Brewers area and Brewers fans, but for a lot of smaller market teams, harder and harder to do. You mentioned using analytics to identify overlooked players that are undervalued. You talked about looking at big value add ROI trades. You talked about recruiting and finding young talent. Is it truly we got to hit lightning in a bottle? Is that how the Brewers get a World Series?
Good question. I think, you know, there's no question that we're not going to have payrolls that the Yankees or, frankly, the Cubs or the Dodgers or the Red Sox are going to have. But the reality is there's a lot of different ways to build really good baseball teams. And for us, it's always going to be developing younger players in our system. And again, acquiring players that have been overlooked or have lost a chance or two, but still have talent. We're not going to be able to sign all our free agents. Obviously, you know, we lost Willie Adames, who was a great player for us for several years. He's now playing for the Giants. We just couldn't afford to keep him. But the reality is we've got some really good players who are stepping up. Not what he's going to replace Willie in and of itself, but we've got enough players to replace what he brings. Not maybe his leadership, but his talent, we can get there. It's really about keeping young players, developing them. And sometimes, you know what, Maggie, you got to let players go at the right time, and it's tough. You know, we had to trade Devin Williams, who was a fantastic closer for us, who is one of the best relievers in baseball. We had to trade Josh Hader a few years ago. We got William Contreras out of that deal, the best catcher in my mind in baseball. So we got, you know, we traded Devin, who's a quality player, a quality person. We got a starting pitcher, and we got Durbin, who looks like he could be a real option for us at third base. Those are the kind of transactions you got to continually make. The roster is going to change over more than maybe some of the fans would like. But at the end of the day, it's about wins and losses. You brought up a sore subject for me, which is, you know, the last game of the 2024 season, losing that game to the Mets in a heartbreak. You know, you want to get in the postseason. There's elements of luck. There's elements of chance. But if you're in the postseason, you're fighting for the World Series, and our mission statement is to win the World Series. And we got to do it. And if we're in the postseason, we have that chance. So we got to get to the postseason, and then we got to have things happen right for us.
Yeah, it's one step at a time. And I think, you know, one of the things that I've loved watching about the Brewers, especially since that 2008 season that we were speaking about before, is seeing these different mixes of players that folks like Matt Arnold and others have put together, seeing how the team coalesces, the different energy and chemistry each season, I think there is something unique and special that engages fans in a place like Milwaukee, in a place like Wisconsin, hardworking fans, hardworking people that are often discounted and overlooked. There is kismet there. There is that intimate relationship between the sort of team that the Brewers are, their ethos, the way they fight, the way they also have fun. And I think that speaks to Wisconsinites in a really special way that I've been to 15 baseball stadiums. It ain't the same in other places. Folks, we're talking with Rick Schlesinger. He is the CEO, President of Business Operations for the Milwaukee Brewers. Let's talk a little bit about how fans consume baseball. With social media becoming such a big deal, with so many people, frankly, reading news, consuming the day's events on social media, how are the Brewers planning to leverage these new and different sorts of ways of connecting and communicating with fans as so many more people are consuming information and their sports online?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things we think about all the time, Maggie, and you're absolutely right. I mean, they're the old days of, you know, watching the Brewers on, you know, over-the-air television and reading about the Brewers in the newspaper in the morning, you know, that sort of is old school. There are so many different ways of engaging our fans. It's social media, it's streaming, it's cable television. It's all of the outreach we do in the community, both locally and statewide. You know, and we also have to cut through a lot of noise and a lot of competition. We've got a lot of great sports teams in the state that all deserve the attention. We've got so many new sports. Women's sports are taking off in a tremendously exciting fashion. So we're competing in a large ecosystem. And I think what we have to do, like you said it earlier, you got to be authentic. You have to be a team that sort of represents the best of your community. And, you know, when I think of Milwaukee and that sort of that blue collar ethic, we're not just a blue collar town anymore, but we have that work ethic, and we recognize when people put out their effort. We know when people are faking it. When you see a Sal Frelick whose uniform is dirty from the first pitch to the end, you know that guy is giving his all. And when you see our players really trying and doing their best and not only succeeding, but there's no slackers on this team. Pat Murphy, our manager, is not going to let players just go through the motions. And that embodies sort of our community. And we are overlooked, Maggie. I think, you know, people confuse us with Minneapolis all the time, you know, or they go, oh, are you near Chicago? Well, Milwaukee's got a lot going for it. And I think the Brewers have a little bit of, you know, underdog to them. And we use that to our advantage. But at the end of the day, we got to play baseball and we got to play winning baseball. And that's the goal.
That is the goal, folks. We've got Rick Schlesinger with me today, President of Business Operations for the Milwaukee Brewers. All right, so you brought up Sal Frelick. Let me ask you a very unserious but fun question, Rick. Do you like the short pants like Sal does, or do you like the to-the-ankle pants? Are you a stirrup guy or not a stirrup guy? Which side of the bread do you like to butter it on, Rick? These are the important questions that Brewers fans want to know.
I actually like the pants down to the shoes. You know, the stirrups were big in the 40s and 50s. And like I said, some guys pull it off and some guys change from game to game.
Yes.
I'm more of a pants down to the shoes, sort of the uniform of maybe 7 to 10 years ago. But I respect the guys' different choices. Baseball players are incredibly superstitious. So if they get 3 hits, wearing the stirrups, they're going to wear the stirrups the next day.
I love the history and legacy of superstition in baseball. The worn caps, the socks that maybe never washed if they hit a winning streak. We're going to come right back with Rick Schlesinger, President of Business Operation for the Milwaukee Brewers. You got a question? Why don't you text it in? All fans welcome here. 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
swing and a drive. Right center and deep. Get up. Get out of here. Gone. The fielder. Here it is. Swing and a drive. The center and deep. Way back. Get up. Get up. Get out of here. And gone. For Ryan Braun. Here it is. Yellen sends one to right center.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Sometimes it's politics, sometimes it's baseball, burgers, and the Milwaukee Brewers. A brat or two as well. I love all of it. Got Rick Schlesinger with me this afternoon. He's the president of business operations for the Milwaukee Brewers. Rick, thanks so much for sticking around. We know we got the Giants this afternoon at 8:45. We got a question from one of our regular listeners and callers, Andrew from Maine, and it was, I promise I didn't bribe Andrew to send in his question with the timing of that intro there. How big of a legacy does Bob Uecker leave for the Brewers? How big of a loss is it in the clubhouse? Because he was so beloved, not just by fans everywhere. There wasn't a Brewers season in my entire adult life where Bob Uecker wasn't a huge part of it. To me, I smell a baseball field. I smell, the gloves, the baseball cleats. What I hear in my head is Bob Uecker's voice. They're so indelibly intertwined. What's it like starting the season out without Bob?
Yeah, there's a giant hole in the Brewers' heart. I knew Bob very well. The one thing I tell people is the public Bob was the private Bob. He was so genuine. He was so authentic. He was a great person, a great listener. People talk about what a great storyteller he was, and he was, but he was a great listener. He would get to know you. I would have dinner. My wife and I would have dinner with him in spring training. We'd spend 4 hours, and he would listen more than he would talk because he was genuinely interested in people, and he wanted to understand people. And he was nice to the stars. He was nice to the people who, you know, who do pick up the laundry at the clubhouse after the game. He was nice to the attendants who help with ushers. And he was just genuine. And it's, he was everything. He was the brand. He was sort of the Brewers icon. And it's not, you can't replace him. We miss him terribly. And it's weird. It is, Maggie. I mean, we've already had, you know, 24 games, but it's really weird to just have a season without him. And, we're doing what we can to honor him, but we're going to fall short because he was the icon and legend and a great human being who packed a lot of stuff into 90 plus years. But boy, we do miss him.
It's remarkable to me that the grief, it's not lessened. The loss isn't lessened, but sharing it and knowing that so many people have that love and could see that genuineness from Mr. Uecker. And perhaps he gave his greatest gift to the state of Wisconsin and the Brewers franchise by instilling such a passionate and never-ending, never-waning love of the game and this franchise to so many folks that grew up here. I'm sure including you, Rick, and certainly myself. I wanted to ask you one serious bit of business that I get into plenty of heated discussions with people about for years. I was the chief legal officer from Milwaukee County. I was there when you all completed the historic negotiation of the lease extension. I make an affirmative case for professional franchises in cities to be a first-class city, to avoid brain drain, to be a place where people want to live. You've got to have these teams, and it requires investment. To those that are skeptical about the relationship between professional franchises, stadium districts, et cetera, make the case to that skeptical taxpayer about why this ROI is positive for Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's a fair point. And, you know, whenever we're using public money, we owe an obligation to make the case and recognize there are so many competing needs for public dollars. And there's no shortage of things in Wisconsin that we all want to see better. But I will tell you, you know, Maggie, you hit on something really strong, which is it's not just the economic case. We were able to do a bunch of models and talk to skeptical legislators and skeptical people in the media. If you look at the job creation, the taxes generated, the economic activity, and you do it in a very methodical, analytic fashion, you can show that the dollars being contributed by the public are far exceeded by what the Brewers generate in tax revenue, economic activity. All that's great. The reality is it's more than that. It's the fact that Major League Baseball in Wisconsin is different than Major League Baseball in New York or Los Angeles. This is a city that thrives on its sports teams, that brings people together. I've got friends on the political side of the aisle who I don't agree with anything, but we can talk Brewers, I can talk Bucks, we can talk Packers. When the teams win, we can hug, even though politically I want nothing to do with that person. And whether you're Black or white, Hispanic, rich, poor, wherever you live, you can get excited about sports teams. The Bucks showed that in 2021. The Packers have done it over time. We want to do that for the fans, but you bring a community together, you create passion and loyalty and fandom, and you can bridge some of the divides and make the society a little happier. At the end of the day, it is painful to see what's going on in our country, and it's tough, and the divisions are very divisive and very real. But, you know, if we can all get excited about the Brewers and be happy, that's a pretty good thing. And I think we had enough Republicans and Democrats who decided it made sense. And we were very privileged to be able to get on the winning side of that debate and that legislation.
Folks, that's Rick Schlesinger, president of business operation for your Milwaukee Brewers. Rick, thank you so much. Congratulations on getting that lease deal done. I, for one, fully supportive and breathing an enormous sigh of relief when that got done. It's not just about the positive ROI. It's about the positive community, the connections, and bringing a little joy to each and every one of you. When we come back, it's the midweek sound off. Do you want to complain about the Bucks starting out 0-2 against the Packers? That's all on the table. Everything fair game in the midweek sound off coming up next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. It's not yet Saturday, and we're not in the park, but I am Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to this little show on this fine hump day afternoon. We got a new segment on Wednesdays at 5:30. We're calling it the Midweek Sound Off. What is on your mind? It can be politically related. It could just be, you know, what did somebody do on the highway the other day that really grinded your gears? And it doesn't have to be in the negative. It can be in the positive. We're going to do this again every Wednesday at 5:30 to hear from you. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Wanted to get us kicked off here this afternoon. One of the things that I have to sound off about is that RFK Jr. this week announced that there's going to be some sort of tracking of people with autism. He's not talking about anonymized, aggregated data to see, you know, rates of diagnosis, different treatment patterns, if there are clusters because people might have been exposed to some sort of carcinogen. Who knows what craziness comes out of RFK's mind? No, not the normal, you know, run-of-the-mill data crunching and analysis that used to be done in a good faith, objective manner by the CDC and other federal agencies. No, 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 no. What RFK Jr. is proposing is to literally track people with autism to access their medical records. I thought we had a law against that, by the way, to have some sort of database. So this is the thing that I wanted to start our sound off, midweek sound off with. Are you kidding me? We're going to not only track in some states women's menstrual cycles to see if they're, quote, at risk for abortion, which, again, I thought we had laws against the government accessing your private medical files, anybody accessing your private medical files. Now we're going to track people with autism. Does anybody trust RFK Jr. to, you know, make sure that we're objectively analyzing data, that he hasn't reached a predetermined conclusion about some things? I sure as heck don't. Does anybody trust that states will properly respect women's autonomy and privacy? This is, you want to talk about like Big Brother type of stuff? This is it. This is what fascism looks like. Not okay with it. It is a terrible idea. I'm kicking us off this week's midweek sound off. That's what I got for you. I want to hear what you all have to sound off about, positive or negative. Can be about, again, you got a bad sandwich at your favorite deli. What do you do about it? We can talk about whatever you want to sound off on. It is the midweek sound off here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Join us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Ollie from the Northwoods, what do you want to sound off on?
Well, I was going to sound off on one thing, but I'm going to sound off on your latest little tidbit of information. I have two grandchildren with autism who are grew up through the system, had wonderful teachers, are great young adults, and I would be horrified at the thought of them being tracked. And I just think that's outrageous. My other good thing was that I just wanted to sound off about the Brewers.
Aww.
When the first Brewer game that came on, I was like, hey, a ball game, what happened to my program I was listening to? Because I live up north and it got interrupted. And then I listened to the game, and then I listened to the next game, and each one I've become more excited and more hooked on. So I'm thankful for the Brewers. They've brightened my days.
Oh, Ali, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for calling. And yes, Ali, I think like a lot of people, if you weren't exposed to baseball and you stumble across it, you've got good announcers or you watch a game with a friend that's really into it. You can spread the baseball love that way. And Ali's exactly right. Listen, when we talk about the idea, every single one of us knows someone with autism. Are you okay with the government spying on them? Are you okay with a conspiracy nut, a guy that knows nothing about science, has no scientific degree, apparently used to throw like Coke parties in his dorm room? You okay with that guy tracking your loved one who happens to have autism? And if autism's the trigger for government tracking, what else counts? Because I menstruate, I can get tracked too? What if you have male pattern baldness? Let's start tracking those. I mean, you get what I'm saying here? It's not acceptable. Folks, you are listening to the Midweek Sound Off right here on the Maggie Dawn Show. You got something to sound off about? Something that went great? Boy, you had this positive interaction at your favorite Quick Trip. You met a new friend in the Walmart. You read something in the news this week that really blew your top. Now is your chance to share it with the world. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Mark from Prairie du Sac, you're up next, my friend. Hello.
Yeah, what got me this morning is Vladimir Putin feels perfectly comfortable publicly offering Donald Trump a bribe and, you know, to turn Ukraine over to him and that the entire Congress should be screaming for Donald Trump's head at this point in time, because that's just such a blatant violation of Article 1, Section 9 of the Constitution, particularly the Emoluments Clause. And why there's just not a hue and cry over this is just beyond me, because it is just such a blatant violation of trust that it is just beyond the pale.
Yeah, it is disgusting, Mark. The idea that Donald Trump puts in front of the people of Ukraine a set of demands that includes forever giving up Crimea, which was sovereign Ukrainian territory, and forever saying we will not join NATO, as well as a series of other completely ridiculous, undoable demands and calling that some sort of framework for peace and saying, Ukraine, unless you agree to this, quote, peace deal, which isn't a peace deal, it's give Vladimir Putin everything the man damn wants. If you're unwilling to do that, the United States is going to walk away from you. I have a little sneaking suspicion here. Here's my suspicion. That Donald Trump, who promised to have this war done, bow on it, peace deal negotiated in the bag on day one, we're now well past day 90. He just doesn't want to have to deal with it anymore because it makes him look bad. That's my theory. So he's just like, ah, we'll be done with this. Little Marco, tell him we're done. And they're facilitating being done and washing their hands of Ukraine, which is a critical geographic bulwark against Russian aggression in Europe. Perfectly happy to wash their hands simply because it's not working for Donald Trump. Simply because it's making him look bad. That's all that's about. Also, maybe Comprobot. I don't know. You know, people are saying there might be Comprobot. I don't know what Donald Trump may or may not have promised him by Vladimir Putin. But this certainly seems to go against 50 years of Republican foreign policy core principles. And all of a sudden they're like, ah, Marco Rubio, forget everything I ever said before in my entire political life. Good sound off, Mark from Prairie du Sac. Richard from Waukesha, you're up next. What do you want to sound off on?
Hey, I want to tell you, I just rewatched my collection of movies, and I watched the Enron movie.
Oh, yes.
And was able to see and connect, you know, them Texas boys with George Jr. and George Sr. and Mr. Lay that
yes.
got the new ball stadium in Texas. Well, you know, those guys, they were right with Ronald all along, you know, and what do the Indians in Texas think of them now?
Yeah, I don't think that's the preferred nomenclature anymore, Richard, but I take your point. By the way, if you ever want to have a very long conversation about all things Enron, I know a couple of things about that. If you are a first-time listener to the show, yes, I am a lawyer. Before I came back home, native Milwaukeean, I worked for a huge Wall Street law firm for many, many years. And in the course of my work for that huge Wall Street law firm, because I don't have a trust fund, I'm not independently wealthy, needed to pay for my education and things, we represented Deutsche Bank. Deutsche Bank was one of Enron's banks. So I was at a number of depositions of top Enron officials throughout the Enron class action litigation. And by the way, do you know who else was a client of Deutsche Bank? Just to take you all down a little rabbit hole here for a second. This is what happens when we do sound offs. It creates new topics and I can share things with you all. Another major client of Deutsche Bank was not just Enron. It was also the Trump Organization. You've all heard that Deutsche Bank for many years was one of the only large international banks that would finance Donald Trump's next terrible, certain to go bankrupt, bad business idea. Well, guess whose law firm used to, before I ever set foot in the building, used to also represent the Trumps, the law firm I used to work for. Because this is how stuff used to get done, right? The law firm would have as a client the bank. The law firm would have, say, a real estate company. Real estate company needs financing. Hey, here's our other client over here, a bank. You guys go get it together. Now, this is just pure hearsay. You cannot rely on this. People told me that the Trumps got fired from my old law firm as a client because they would no-show meetings, have like a room full of lawyers waiting for 3 or 4 hours, and then would what? What, everyone? Are you all screaming at your radios or your smart speakers? What would they do? Not pay the bills. Like, is anybody surprised about that? Thanks so much for the trip down memory lane, Richard from Waukesha. Cam from Appleton, what do you want to sound off about this afternoon, sir?
I've been working on a video game for like the last 2 years, like developing it and paying for artists and other work, right? And it's post-apocalyptic. It's corporations kind of run everything. Not incredibly unique in terms of the story, but I remember back when Matt Flynn was taken off the air, it was around then that I was getting really ticked because everything in the news cycle felt like it was just like too extreme. And I was already supposed to be writing my story to be parody, but this stuff was like everything was like reality, but The Onion. And I had to rewrite so much stuff, and now I'm at a place where I'm pretty happy with it. But I will say, if we get to the point where corporations start kidnapping people and using them to fuel coolant systems for their computers, yeah, we might be off the deep end.
I can always count on Cam for a little post-apocalyptic, oh gee whiz, what's happening now? Folks, you're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Every Friday, we're going to end the show with a little over the hump and Trump, some good news to send you into your Thursdays. Keep it locked. That last segment coming up next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. Hope you're having a fine Wednesday afternoon. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'll say that three times in a row. It's the Civic Media Radio Network. What I wanted to tell you all that we got Nightlight with Peach Wawa coming up next, so you're not going to want to go anywhere. I'll be back with you all tomorrow at 4 o'clock in your drive time slot. I'll be joined with my special guest co-host who joins me every Thursday. His name is Tom Paulsiewicz. He ran for Congress twice. He's a small business owner, a Navy veteran. And we've got some great guests lined up, so you're not going to want to miss that. One of my favorite game shows, and I love game shows. I love board games. One of my favorite game shows of all time is Family Feud. And I have a particular love of Steve Harvey. So to set up what today's story for Over the Hump and Trump is, I got to go back to the Steve Harvey vault and listen to one of perhaps infamous, but definitely hilarious moments from Family Feud. Take a listen.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pine.
He said, cupine.
What is cupine?
This is the greatest answer I've ever heard. Cupine.
What follows pork, chop, and beans? Sauerkraut if you're from Wisconsin. Nope, coupon. So why are we talking about porcupines for this installment of Over the Hump and Trump, which you'll find every Wednesday at 5:50? Well, because the Milwaukee County Zoo's newest resident is an absolutely adorable three-week-old. What? You guessed it. Baby porcupine, everybody. I am a huge, huge fan of the Milwaukee County Zoo. It is the nationally accredited zoo in the state of Wisconsin. And the animals there and the care that is taken is literally second to none. This, they have not yet named this. Here's a new word. I learned this reading the article about this. Porcupet. So if you don't want to go with coupon, the next time Steve Harvey asks you what follows pork, you say cupet. The unnamed porcupet was born to mom Quinn and dad Seamus on March 27th. The zoo announced this past Friday. It's the couple's sixth porcupet. Calvin, did you know? Calvin's on the board with me, everybody. If you know, Did you know that baby porcupines were named porcupettes?
Yeah, I did not. I thought maybe porcupup.
Porcupup! Oh, I love it!
Seems a little better than pet, but hey, I'm not a scientist.
Porcupet, E-T-T-E. Very cute. They have a Facebook page. So the Milwaukee County Zoo has a Facebook page. You can go check out Quinn's new baby porcupette, as well as the ultrasounds from before her birth. And they invited users to try to guess the sex of the fetus. But now, since it's born, did you also know this? They haven't even yet determined the sex of said porcupette. The zoo says the baby is healthy and growing. It was born at 572 grams, grew to 770 grams after just 2 weeks. So cute. Who doesn't love a little baby animal? I certainly do. I bought a dog that is permanently a little baby animal. I have a little dog. Her name is Finny, short for Josephine. I am a great big tall person, so I thought it would be ironic to get a tiny little dog. She's a miniature dachshund. Yes, we call her Finny. I've got another bit of fun news for you for today's installment of Over the Hump and Trump. Did you know that there is a grilled cheese championship in the state of Wisconsin? I surely did not. It is in Iowa County, nestled in the beautiful driftless area of southwest Wisconsin. There are serious competitors from all over. They've got amateur cooks and professionals. The contest was the brainchild of the late Dodgeville resident Lauren Toper, who started the event, of course, to highlight our incredible dairy industry here. I love me a grilled cheese. I don't know about you all, but that is one of the things, if I was stuck home from school sick, my mom would whip up a grilled cheese and a little tomato soup. That would always get me feeling better. Here's the cool thing. A lot of the champions and competitors who participate in this, let me get the formal name is the Wisconsin Grilled Cheese Championship, that participate in the Grilled Cheese Championship will share with you their tips for the best grilled cheese. Now, that is something that I am all about, because I like my grilled cheese not just with cheese. I like a little shaved onion in there, little shaved onion. Big fan of that. Maybe even a slice of ham. We just had Easter, got a little ham left over. Little slice of ham with my grilled cheese. Last year's champion, Jason Kearse of Wanakee and Zach Washa of Highland, they're going to go head to head in a bunch of the multiple categories that they've got here. Kearse is a former chef and Washa is a home cook who has now moved into the professional class. I guess after you lock in one grilled cheese championship, you can call yourself a professional chef. I love it. They've got some tips. You can find out more. Just give a little Google to the Wisconsin Grilled Cheese Championship. That's in Iowa County. Support Wisconsin's agricultural industry since the Trump administration. Screw the family farms. That's going to do it for me this fine Wednesday afternoon. Hope to see and hear from all of you again tomorrow, because we're all about real news and great conversation here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name's Maggie Dawn. Thanks for listening. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together for some good grilled cheese.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.